hear the word of the Lord. It was on the day of Pentecost that all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were all sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by these believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia, Perga, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And here we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." And then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day the Lord returns. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Oh, this is God's good word for you, God's people. Amen? Please be seated. Well, here we are. It is Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church. This day we recall the promised Spirit, how it comes and manifests itself on all the believers. Jesus has promised his followers that the Father would send the Spirit to empower his people. Prior to this, the Spirit would only rest on a person, and that person would be empowered to do amazing things for God. The fullness of the Spirit was given to people like Moses, people like Elijah, people like Joshua. Oh, but Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would rest on all believers, empowering them to be witnesses to the world of God's amazing work and wonders in Christ. And so for the Christian, that's what Pentecost is all about. The promised Spirit comes in its fullness, the very same Spirit that empowered people like Moses and Elijah comes now to rest upon all people who claim Jesus is Lord. Oh, God's Holy Spirit comes to empower, and it comes to enlighten, and it comes to encourage you and me and all of God's people. You see, the story of Pentecost comes 50 days following Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus, the risen Christ, has been walking with his disciples in these 50 days, down lonely roads, appearing before them in locked up rooms, making breakfast for them on the beach and reassuring them to keep the faith and to continue feeding his sheep. And just 10 days before Pentecost, 10 days before this day we celebrate, Jesus stands before his apostles and he tells them that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, to the very ends of the earth. And after saying this, Jesus then ascends into the clouds. raising up into heaven. And so on the day of Pentecost, all the believers, they're gathered here together. Jesus' apostles and all of those meeting in Jerusalem. Acts 1:15 numbers these believers around 120 people, roughly the size of our church. All right? And all of a sudden, the whole house erupts with this huge and violent blowing of this wind, this sound. But it wasn't coming from outside. It was originating from inside. And then they see what almost looks like fire, and it falls upon each of these believers. And each and every one of these men and women, young and old, are filled with God's Spirit, just as Jesus said they would be, and they begin to speak in different languages. And who knows if it was the sound of the coming of the Spirit, this violent blowing wind, or the sound of better than 120 believers speaking all at once the different languages of the known world. But it caused a great crowd of unbelievers to gather around that house to see what was happening. And these people, these Jews from Jerusalem and the diaspora Jews and the Gentiles and the converts to Judaism, this crowd of well over 3,000 people from most every part of the known world heard these believers of Jesus speaking their own language, their native tongue. And it totally amazed them because these were Galileans, and Galileans were known for not being a linguistic people. And here they are proclaiming the wonders of God in Christ Jesus and doing so in their tongue. And then Peter stands up and explains what's happening, and he tells them about Christ Jesus. And many of these people who have just witnessed this manifestation of God, of His Spirit, become believers. And the church is born. 3,000 people, over 3,000 people from all the known world come to faith. That's a great story, church. That's a great story, an amazing story of this new day, this new era in which God is with us always, imparting His Holy Spirit unto us and into our lives, not just walking alongside of us, but actually living in us, transforming us into His likeness. I mean, think about that. The power of God lives in you. If you are a born-again believer, if you claim Jesus Christ to be in your heart and your life, and you are living your life in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you is what that means. Oh, when Jesus promised the Holy Spirit in John 14, He said, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate. He'll never leave you, never leave you." He's the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. All the world, they can't receive Him because it's not looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. Oh, but you know Him because He lives with you and will later be in you. Oh, the Holy Spirit, the power of God resides in you, but it is not for you. God has gifted us so that we can help one another in the building of God's kingdom right here on earth, here in our local Jerusalem, our community, and further out into our Judea, our county, and in our state, and in Samaria, our country, and from there into all of the world. You see, God has given us all that we need to be effective witness in building the kingdom and helping people to come to know who Jesus is and to fall in love as we have fallen in love with Jesus. He has made this possible by the imparting of His Holy Spirit into our lives. I mean, think about what this means for us. I mean, what if right now, we had everything we needed to make Selma Christ the most hospitable, caring, Jesus-loving, Bible-believing, disciple-making, outreach-focused, financially stable, mission and ministry-oriented, and numerical-growing church this side of Delaware County? What if? What if right now we possessed everything that we need to make that completely true? What if our greatest issue in worship revolved around where we're going to seat everyone, and I sure hope we don't run out of cookies? You know? What if right now we had everything we needed to fulfill the things that God is leading us to do in order for us to make disciples in His name? What if right now we could raise up some new leaders of those who are not currently leading that would help to spread out the work and the responsibilities of the different things that we do as a church? What if I told you that all of this was possible and even more today, right now? Some of you might be thinking, well, maybe Pastor Andy got into some of that fermented communion juice downstairs, huh? It seems to me that God birthed His church with a group of people that numbered. He birthed the church with a group of people about the same size of our church. Think about that. And God has given us that very same Holy Spirit that empowered the early church. It is the very same Spirit that dwelled in these people's lives, lives in us. God said, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever. And He meant that. It's the very same Spirit. And sure, I know Jesus wasn't here in physical body form last Wednesday night with a casserole in His hands. I'm aware of that. And Jesus hasn't been here in physical form whenever we've been doing our missional studies for the last 10 weeks or so. But He's still been here. Not in physical form, but He's been right here with us. Do you believe that? I do. And so what that means is just as these people saw Jesus 10 days prior to Pentecost, I believe we've also seen Jesus in these last 10 days. Maybe not in the same way that those apostles saw Him at Pentecost, but we too have certainly witnessed Jesus in our life. You know, I can't help but to wonder if the reason churches, and I'm just thinking out loud here, and I'm talking about churches in general, I can't help but to wonder if the reason churches struggle with things like attendance and outreach and finance, volunteers and whatnot, is because in part we expect so little out of God. You know, instead of counting on God, we look to our own self and what we can accomplish, that what we can make happen. And if it's beyond us or it's beyond our own comfort level, then we probably shouldn't try that, or maybe we shouldn't do it because I really don't think I can get it done. But you see, in doing that, we fail to rely on our greatest help. Oh, where would we be on this Pentecost Sunday if these disciples thought it was just all about them and what they could actually achieve and get done? We wouldn't be sitting in this church. What if God has given us everything we need right now? What if we have all we need to be the most amazing, effective church that Selma Christ can be? Effective in making disciples and in growing disciples. You see, the one thing that has not changed since the time of Pentecost is that God has given us all that we need to be an effective witness in the building of His kingdom and helping one another to this end. God's Holy Spirit has come to us. It has come to all of God's people to empower us and to enlighten us and to encourage us along. Oh, listen, Jesus in his final instructions to His disciples told them to wait in Jerusalem until that they were clothed with power from on high. That power would be the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That Holy Spirit that would empower them for ministry. And think about this. You have a group of people, again, about the size of our church. God's Holy Spirit falls upon them. God is present with them. And this is the moment, this is like their conversion experience. It falls upon them in His Spirit. God's Holy Spirit falls upon them. God is present with them and in them, giving them everything they need to be His church. Not for them to wait until they gather another 20 members around, or until they vamp up their music ministry, or to identify 6 new small group leaders, but right now, at that moment, they have all they need to be His church. And Simon Peter proclaims the word of God. 3,000 souls are added to the church. That is power, church. But it didn't stop there. In a relatively brief period of time in history, this tiny Christian community sweeps across the entire Roman world. Power was promised and empowerment was delivered. Now, some might say, now hold on there. The reason that there were so many people gathered around this house is because of what they heard when the Holy Spirit came to rest upon God's believers. And I would say that's exactly right. People, unbelievers and seekers, came to the house because of what they heard. That's key. So what do people hear about Selma Christ and how the Spirit is at work here? What do people hear? Because that's what brings people in. What do people hear about the moving of God's Spirit here at Selma? Do they hear the positives from each of you that we are a church that expresses and experiences Jesus' love? I hope so. Oh, that we're all about relationships, being connected with God and being connected with each other. I see that, I sense that, and I hear that. That we're a church that is about encouragement, that we're here for one another. These are some of the things that many of you spoke of whenever we did those cottage gatherings, remember? These are foundational for who we are and what we are, that we're a church of encouragement by being a friend and by being a supporting presence. Oh, do people you talk to hear that we're all about community, that we care for our neighbors through selfless acts of kindness, like what God is doing and what we are doing in the hearts and the lives of people around us. And we also care about doing our very best in everything that we do, because we believe that God deserves our very best. Our first fruits is what that's about. Or do people hear? Boy, I wish we could just get some new members, you know? Or maybe... You know, I remember those days that we had the best music ministry. You know, our choirs and our singers, our talent. In fact, we had the best music in all of Delaware County, and now we struggle just to give our pianist a break. You know? Is that what people hear? Or do people hear how our church used to be full and at the very center of everything happening in our community, but now the numbers don't look anything like that? In fact, we have a lot of empty spaces in our pews and a whole lot more grain going on. Do people hear about how some over the years have moved away, or how some have gotten frustrated over something that someone might have said, or something that someone has done and they've left? Do people hear about how our finances are not what they used to be, or how that our preacher or that leader of ours or how that person that is in our church is just not fill in the blank? What do people hear about Selma Christ from you? You see, when the Holy Spirit fell upon that group of people and that crowd gathered around and the goodness of God was being expressed in that community, I want to tell you, there were those in that community that spoke the negative voice. What did they say? You remember what they said? Oh, they're just drunk. Yeah. I wonder what would happen if when we hear those negative voices, that we don't just listen and nod our heads, or even worse, chime in. But what if we stood up like Peter did and all of those faithful disciples and share the truth of truly what God is doing? That we really do have all that we need from God right now to be the most effective, amazing church right now. That we are a great church. A great church to be a part of. That has so much to offer our community. Oh, that we have leadership in this church. You have a pastor who loves you, and leaders who care about the present and who care about the future and where we are moving toward. Members who step up and who step out and give all they possibly can to make a difference in Christ. We are a great place to be, truly. You know, every study of growing churches indicates that the attitude of the congregation is the most important ingredient of the vitality of the church's witness. You know that? If we believe that it is God's will that we should be a church that is alive and growing and serving the needs of people, we will be. It's not simply the power of positive thinking. It's not about that at all. It's a trust and a promise. What the promise is that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall have power. That's the promise. And God fulfills that always. God's Holy Spirit has come to empower us. When the Holy Spirit is experienced, people walk with courage. We walk with confidence. We don't ask, well, can we really do that? Dare we try that? That's so far out of what I can do. Oh, listen, nothing is impossible to people who are led by God's Spirit. God's Holy Spirit has come, you see, to empower. That means it's not about me. It's about what God can and what God will do. And secondly, God's Holy Spirit has come to enlighten us. Enlighten us. God declares through the prophet Joel that in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people, your sons, your daughters, they're going to prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my Spirit on those days and they will prophesy. They will tell about what God is doing. Not just what God has done, but what God is doing and what God is about to do as we have that vision. Oh, listen, everything great happens in life begins with a vision. Everything great that happens in life always begins with a vision. We are a church today because of the vision of those who came before us. And some of those visionaries are part of your family way back when. Part of the power that the Spirit brings is the ability to see vision, to have a clear vision, and to dream those dreams that must be dreamt and for us to have the ability to get where God is leading us. Bruce Larson, in his book Wind and Fire, tells about a National Football League championship game many, many years ago between Dallas and Green Bay, played in Wisconsin, and what was come to known as the Ice Bowl. Maybe a few of our older football fans remember that game. Green Bay was behind 5 points. There was seconds to play on the clock. Packers had the ball on the Cowboys' 1 foot line. It was fourth down. Everything hinged on that very last play. In the huddle of the quarterback of the Packers, Bart Starr, turned to Jerry Kramer, the offensive guard, and he said, Jerry, if you can move Jethro Pugh 12 inches to the left, you'll make $15,000. Jerry Kramer, he caught that vision of what he was to do. Move defensive lineman Jethro Pugh 12 inches to the left and claim $15,000, which was the winner's share of the championship. And you know it's been a few years back, right? But Jerry did exactly that. Jethro was moved 12 inches, and Green Bay won. You see, the Holy Spirit brings vision to show us what we must do, to show us the way, to give us insight to where to move as individuals and as His church. God's Spirit has come to enlighten us, to dream dreams, to have clarity of sight, to speak God's truth into the lives of those who know Him not, and to make clear God's love for all people. It is God's Holy Spirit that will enlighten our path as we begin this process of visioning this Tuesday evening and at this leadership board. Oh, and I want to tell you, church, I am so excited about this. I'm so much looking forward to this time because we've completed our work with our 10-week study, that missional study that we participated in. We've had some deep and very honest conversation, and I want to tell you, that stretched some of us. In fact, that stretched many of us, and that's good. And we've sought the power and the presence of God's Spirit and leading through all of this and so much more. We've prayed for God's leading for us as His church. And now it is time to begin the process of following through. Oh, by trusting and allowing God to enlighten us, by giving us clarity of sight, by the vision that He would have us to follow over these next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Down the road. I want you to continue to be in prayer over this for our church and for our leadership for, you know, these next couple of months, that God would bring us clarity in our sight, that we might have vision of His leading for us as His church. And finally, the Holy Spirit brings us to encouragement. The Spirit encourages us as we seek to live out our faith. The passage from John 14 that I shared earlier, it says that I will ask the Father and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. You see, this word advocate in the original Greek is parakletos, parakletos. In Christian circles, it is referred to as the paraclete, not to be misunderstood with the bird, okay? But the parakletos has a wide range of meanings that includes to exhort and to encourage, to comfort and to console, to call upon for help and to appeal. And what we do not want to lose here is that the Holy Spirit as encourager does all of this. He's not just advocate. See, advocate is all of this. You see, He encourages us to, as the one who comforts. He is the one who exhorts, who urges us and prods us when needed. He is the one who helps us, and He is even the one who makes appeals to the Father on our behalf. Oh, the Holy Spirit as encourager is all of these as encourager. Oh, church, at Pentecost, God gave the church all it needed to be the church. And He's done that ever since. All we needed. This has not changed over time. We have everything we need right now to be the most effective, amazing church that we can possibly be. Effective in making disciples and effective in growing disciples. Because God's Holy Spirit has come to us. God's Spirit has come to all of God's people. You and me, all of us alike, to empower us, to enlighten us, and to encourage us. It's Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of His church, and we celebrate that as people filled with His Spirit. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank You for this Pentecost Sunday, for what it means for us this day and what it means for us in our lives and most importantly, what it means for us as your church. God, we know that you have come to empower us, to enlighten us, to encourage us. You have given us all that we need right now in this moment to be who you are calling us to be that effective witness in our community, to see change in lives, to see people transformed and grace received. Lord, we pray that we as your church can follow through just as your disciples have followed through, giving that positive witness to what we see around us and the moving of your Spirit in us and through us, and how we too can build your church in this place called Selma. Lord, just continue to lead us now and draw us close to you and close to one another. Help us to just love on each other so that we can see your church continue to be birthed into something new and alive, invigorating, that thing that sets people free. For this we ask and this we pray, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.